As many as 1 in 4 people in the United States, ABC News reports, as many as 1 in 4 in the U.S. may have COVID-19 and not show any symptoms. Dr. Jennifer Ashton, ABC News chief medical correspondent, said the new data from Iceland, this is fascinating, where there is a smaller population and testing is more prevalent, shows that 50% of the people in Iceland are infected with COVID-19 and show no symptoms at all. That is part of why it is so difficult to contain the virus, the doctor said. We have to remember this virus is just about 4 months old. There's literally things we don't know about it. We're learning about the way it behaves and the ways it transmits and causes diseases every day. Researchers are also still learning more about why the virus strikes some people more harshly than others. And one of the theories, she says, is it has to do with how much of the actual viral particles someone gets exposed to. That may be part of it. I've thought about that and thought that wouldn't be a factor at all. If you get one virus or a million viruses in you, it replicates and then eventually you're going to get it all out. And, you know, full bore. And she's intimating that maybe that's not the case. Ashton noted at the time of Wentworth's diagnosis that Stephanopoulos and his family were practicing the home version of social distancing that must be done when a person in a household tests positive. The key is really isolation, and you guys are doing it right, she said earlier this month. We have to remember that everyone in the household who's been exposed should presume that they are infected until they're out of a 14-day window of observation. So keeping the kitchen clean, wiping down surfaces in any common areas is really, really important. That's key, said the doctor on ABC News. I'm telling you, this just cannot remind me more of what that Ray Kaplan went through with her husband, George. At least I think so. Ray's back on the phone. Ray, you're hearing that story, and what's jumping out at you?
Well, it is. It's a very similar situation to what me and my husband, George, went through in that he became ill around March 12th, and his symptoms were quite severe. And he's a physician, as you know, and his theory also was that he must have been exposed to a pretty heavy viral load, meaning that somebody that he was exposed to kind of, for whatever reason, gave him like a big viral load of it, either sneezed like right by him or maybe spoke very closely to him or something. So he was exposed to a big viral load. And my symptoms were very, very mild, but I actually find this a little bit, kind of encouraging what you were talking about, previously, in that 50% of people are testing positive for COVID-19, because if that's the case and those people have antibodies and they're not experiencing any symptoms, then that means that they're, according to most immunologists, that they're immune to the virus. So that is potentially very positive, that you can be exposed to it, even test positive, but not have any symptoms, and then you'd be immune to it as well.
A frequent guest and sponsor is on a phone line. That's Ray Kaplan. You hear her commercials for financial relief at Kaplan's Law Firm, financialrelief.com. She's the lady that does the help you minimize your student debt. And she and her husband both, well, her husband tested eventually positive for COVID-19. Ray was never tested, but experienced some of the symptoms. You still haven't been tested. Is that right, Ray?
Right, I haven't. They're pretty much just assuming that I had it because my husband tested positive and then I had very similar symptoms.
Refresh my memory. Did the two of you experience a loss of taste?
Yes, we did. And that was one of the strangest elements of the virus, because no food tasted good and you couldn't taste very much. And also your sense of smell was very dull, smell and taste. I would say the biggest problem with this virus is the fatigue. And, you know, in my husband's case, the really very painful body aches, headaches, and the fever, the chills, everything associated with high fevers. It's very uncomfortable. And, you know, they consider it pretty much a mild case unless you have to be hospitalized. But my husband also indicated that they're even rethinking whether or not a lot of these patients should be put on a ventilator, because a lot of patients don't do well with this virus on a ventilator, and it might even exacerbate the situation. So they're kind of re-examining. There's some news stories about it, about whether or not putting people on ventilators is good or just keeping them on oxygen. They have a better result that way.
Your husband's fever was over 104 degrees for a week, which just sounds impossible, but there it is. And he may have gotten some mother load at the hospital where he works, but then maybe, as the doctor on ABC was explaining, from him, you guys were being so careful, you might have gotten just the very smallest exposure, and that's what led to maybe your less severe case, although you also got the chloroquine early, didn't you, Ray?
Yes, I did. I got it the first day that I started experiencing symptoms, and it made me much, much better. Within 24 to 36 hours, I was about 75%. Yeah.
I don't want to take medical advice from people that aren't doctors, and I know the president and some people continue to champion chloroquine with zinc, with the Z-Pak, that combination of drugs and things that you took that they are recommending, but that's not the way it works. Doctors and scientists are much more pragmatic about these things, and I think some of us have this attitude that maybe we don't have the luxury of being so careful right now. As the president said, what have you got to lose? But that's terrible public policy. And it might be bad medical policy, because if you take it and you don't need it, the complications can be even worse than the flu. So it's, you know, than COVID-19.
Potentially. However, I think that that drug has been on the market for a really long time. And again, this is, as you point out, completely anecdotal. But I have to say it worked for me, and I felt much, much better right away. And they did keep my husband on the same drug plus the Z-Pak, as you said, while he was in the hospital. So it does seem that they continue to have some faith in that as for treating these symptoms and for treating the virus. So I think it's, from what I understand, pretty low risk. But they also need the drug for people with lupus and all kinds of other diseases. So I think it's not that easy to get a hold of now. But I understand, you got to get it at the beginning because it prevents the virus from attaching to your cells, supposedly, is what goes on.
Yeah, you took it right away. Your husband didn't have that, did not have it for quite some time, so it was very helpful to you and much less so for him. And then just one last thing. You are exactly in the same role that Stephanopoulos was. His wife has the disease. Your husband had the disease. There's the two of you, the two of them. Somebody's got to help that person. It's like, I think at first you say, get away from that guy, but you can't. He's your husband. He needs your help. Stephanopoulos was in the same situation, and they were being super careful. You had medical equipment, and yet you still couldn't avoid the bug.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, constant disinfecting and constant, you know, masks and gloves and everything else. But, you know, you're taking care of that person, and it is aerosolized. So, you know, likely, maybe he won't get it. I don't know. But I did.
Yeah, right. And I guess that's a reminder, too, to us all, Ray, that as the numbers start to go down and we all, quote unquote, start to seem better, maybe we're not, and it's so easy to get, and it can run rampant if we're not careful. You know, we really do need to be cautious about this.
Oh, absolutely. I really think we do, because you don't know how it's going to affect you. And that's what my husband's doctor, who was caring for him when he was in the ICU, told me. They still don't really know why some people have such a kind of serious case of it and others don't, why some people react the way they do to the virus while others don't. They don't really, they're still learning.
You sound good, though, and your husband's back to work, right?
Thank you. Yeah, we're both good. My husband is back at work. He's in great shape. He went for a bike ride the other day. His color came back. So, yeah, thank goodness we're both fine and doing well.
All right. So if you don't have to see your husband, go see Ray Kaplan if you have student debt, financialrelief.com, and figure out not only what you could have done, but what you can do now with the new rules in place to forgive federal student debt. If it's federally backed, you don't have to make a payment for 6 months, right?
Exactly. There's a suspension of payments and interest, but you have to have the right type of loans. And also right now, private lenders are very ripe for settling, for debt settlement. So we're having some fantastic results where we settled recently somebody's $80,000 private student loan for $20,000. So they're definitely in the mood to settle. So if you have those kinds of loans, give us a call or check out our website at financialrelief.com and schedule an appointment. We're up and running remotely, and we're anxious to get back into the office, but we've been set up remotely since 2015 anyway, because we have clients across the country.
312-294-8989financialrelief.com. Thank you, Ray. My best to you both.
Thank you so much, John. Bye-bye.
I just couldn't help but call her after having heard that story.